So we are going to do things a little bit differently. Instead of having one woman come up here by her lone self, grabbing the mic and shaking to death, we're going to ask all of the women that gave me their names and those that maybe changed their minds and would like to share something, if you would sit in the front row all together. So let's do that right now. Come on up.
But that's a whole nother story. But Martha's faith gave way to one of the greatest miracles of his ministry. And don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that.
There's lots and lots of room. This is so good.
Oh, I love this. Oh, I love this.
Wow, we can even take up the second row. Go ahead.
Yeah,
we can fill up the second row.
One word from Jesus, but that we're learning to get to know each other as well.
This is so good.
Isn't this good?
So we've been learning about Abide, and what we did this week was we listened to the entire Gospel of John. Everybody had their own individual copy of the Gospel of John, the ESV version, and so we're just going to focus on chapter 15 because that was the theme of this week, and we're just going to play it. Instead of me reading John 15, we're just going to listen to it because you'll get to experience a little bit of what we did today.
But Amy did lead us through some beautiful expression of how you.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another.
To one another.
To be continued.
There's so much good fruit.
So that was our theme. John 15, and we learned that abiding means to remain, to dwell, to last, and so that's just what we did. We remained here all day.
Yeah,
and it was amazing. So I'm going to ask three of you women to come up here and take a seat, and we're just going to begin. What did God do in your life?
And it's good to hear.
Do I need a drum roll?
And to normalize.
Come on up. Yep, we'll have three of them.
Those things that we hear, and we have to discern. We're all on a journey of discerning, right? The enemy's voice, God's voice.
Good morning,
to
church.
Normalize these things, because the enemy wants us to abide.
right? And abide is
make us feel alone,
being connected with Jesus.
And that's just lies.
And so there's things that hinder us from being connected with Jesus.
The word of God,
like we can get busy in doing housework, doing different things,
and say, no, my sister,
shopping, looking at TV.
We're going to listen to the truth
but
together.
And God showed me
that's good.
Put those things away. Put him first.
Listen to the entire book of John.
There's nothing should come in my life before Jesus Christ.
The book of John?
And
okay, I'm going to trust your
It was just such a blessing. And we was taught the things of the Holy Spirit.
Wow, it was so cool.
Being baptized in the Holy Spirit.
We were listening to the word of God. We were having it washed over us.
God is such a loving God because when he went to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to comfort us, to live inside of us. That's why Jesus is living in us through the Holy Spirit.
And
God showed me some things.
So the radio, everybody gather around.
I need to open my heart more to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I've been praying that prayer, and I ask you guys to pray for me as well.
Because
I know he's real, and I know I can hinder from him doing things for me because I'm not opening up my heart. So my prayer is, God, let me open up my heart fully to whatever he has to offer him.
And
I want to thank the women and Kendra. And all the women that spoke, thank you. And the food, just thank God for an amazing weekend.
The Holy Spirit led me.
And the Spirit was so high. I left here like I had been out to the club drinking all night. I was drunk after being out of here. I didn't even want to go eat, but I ate, you know. But I just tell you, God did such an amazing thing, and I just want to thank him and give him glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, I just want to just pray over what I say this morning. I don't want to shock anyone. but when we went through the curses, especially, I had to leave early Saturday, but I went home, and from home I worked through the whole workbook we did, and I realized that we had some pretty strong curses operating in our lives, and spirit of death, spirit of suicide, a lot of things we just kind of wrote off as mental health in the past, and so I was able to break some things, and that was just really encouraging. I've definitely wrestled with. I remember about 14 years ago just going through a season where I literally felt like I was wrestling with a demon. I don't know if any of you have experienced that, but it definitely, it was dark, and I really thought I might die. I really thought, I don't know if I'm going to live through this, and but here I am, and God's Spirit has sustained me, and And at age 23, I was put on a controlled substance just to function every day, and was on it for 11 years. And 11 years later, I broke off. I decided I'm going to get off of this. Probably should have went to the hospital to do it, and I didn't. And so I've just definitely seen God's power at work. You know, there's no way I could have made it through the things that God has had me go through, and just and the curse of. The three curses, I could relate to all of those, and just being setback after setback after setback. And some of it has even been recent. So I know that maybe the first inner healing I did, we didn't address those things. So I just praise God that I was able to break all of that off.
So we had a very good time. We really did. And the Spirit was here. That was the main thing about it all. He was helping us abide. And I had to share my testimony, and I hope I didn't scare some of the women away. Because, you know, it had to do, of course, with my past, But I just want to say to you ladies, that was 40 years ago. So what we look at is what God has done and what he is doing. And so you don't have to be scared, okay? But this morning, God gave me, and it amazed me how it's been going, you know, the service. But he gave me Romans 8:14. For those that are led by the Spirit are the children of God. And that is the remedy. We are to be led by his Spirit. And that's why I'm here today, because I've been led by his Spirit. And yesterday, this was full of the Spirit. And I just must say to you guys, how do we do it? It's by being led and not allowing the other spirit to lead us, but allow the Spirit of God, that's what that scripture says, the Spirit of God to lead us. Allow it. And I wanted to say that we are so fortunate and blessed that we have leaders like our pastors here that are full of that Spirit and that want to lead us. When pastor says respond, that's our part, to respond what God has been saying through his servant, through his servants. And I just wanted to say that I am just grateful to be part of a church that is growing and that is led by the Spirit. You know?
So good. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? This is the body of Christ, God. This is the body of Christ. Okay, we got three more ladies.
Good morning. First of all, I want to thank everyone who organized the event of this weekend. It was wonderful. I am so grateful to be part of this church. I really am. And I get a little bit emotional because I haven't been participating to a lot of events because of timing issues. But yesterday, I learned how important it is to make God our priority. So to abide means to let God work in us and through us. So when we allow God to work in us, we have to first give him time in our everyday life. And to allow him to work through us, we have to spread the love to everyone. It doesn't matter if that person did something to you, but to be obedient to the word of God. I am especially thankful for what Amy and Pastor Kendra shared. They gave us some tools on how to, Amy showed us how to meditate in the word of God, how to use meditation along with the word of God, and Pastor Kendra showed us how to do journaling with the word of God. Those are two things that I have been working on for the last 2 months. So that gave me a lot of points on where to work and how to do it. And we studied the book of John. And I have to say that the one that spoke with me was John 11:38. It says, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" And I always thought that to see the glory of God was when you pass to be in the other life. But when I went home, because I had to leave early as well, I start studying that part and using my computer to understand it better. And actually, to see the glory of God, we see it every day. And when I look at my past, with all the blessings and all the tribulations that I have seen God's hand. Even though back then I was not a strong believer. I have seen how he has worked through my life and brought me where I am now. So with that being said, I live each day with excitement because I know he has my best interest, and I look forward to a bright future. I'm not afraid. I'm not anxious about anything because I know I am his.
I'm trying to remember everything I wanted to say now because I feel like it just flew away. And then you said stuff, and I'm like, yes. And now I can't remember what you said. but I think you were saying something about, like, seeing how he's worked in your life and where he's brought you from here to here. And that was a big part for me, too. And just... And a lot of you know, if you've been coming, Pauline, I've been thinking so much about you. And I didn't see you this morning, and I was sad. And I was like, I wish he was here, because you were such a big part, and I don't think you know how much, when I first started coming here. And, I mean, you guys know I sat over there, and I was so just broken and drowning, and like you were sharing, like literally to the point that I at times felt like I just wanted to die. I just didn't want to be here anymore. I just wanted it to be over. And you filled me every Sunday morning with just a little bit of hope and a whole lot of love. And I was thinking this weekend about a year ago coming to the women's weekend and where I was in that. And I needed love and acceptance and hope. And that's what I got out of that weekend. And through the whole thing, you were sitting close to me, and I felt like you were like my cheerleader, and I felt like there were little pieces. The one I remember the most was we had to do an activity where we had to forgive and break that spirit of unforgiveness, and I sat there for quite some time, and I didn't know if I could fully do that, and then I did, and I just remember you sitting there, and you just kind of like, and, you know, and like I thought, like, I don't know, that's where the cheerleader piece kind of came from, I guess, but you, I just felt all this encouragement just bleeding out of you into me to move forward that weekend and push through everything that was so hard, and I just love you, and I thank you so much for everything you've done for me, and so this weekend I was thinking about how that's where I was sitting a year ago, and then here I am a year later at another weekend with the women, which I love you all so much, and I just feel so blessed to have all these beautiful, wonderful relationships with other women, and it's such, I'm just so thankful for that, and all of you, so, but I'm sitting there this weekend thinking, gosh, you know, I'm not sitting in all of that shame and guilt and rejection and abandonment anymore. And I was just able to kind of, like, I kind of knew that, but just the realization of it just kind of flooded over me this weekend. And I was able to kind of rejoice in that a little bit and see how far I've come, and I feel also that that is a testimony for this church, because it was you guys too. Like, I came in this door feeling like, gosh, if you just knew who I was, y'all would tell me to leave, and you would say, get out of here, you know, but never once have any of you made me feel that way. And it was Pauline's hugs and Sam's hugs and Laurie and you. And Kathy and Amy and you and you and Walt's jokes. I don't know where he is, but he made me laugh in the mornings on Sundays. And just that's a big part of what made me feel comfortable to come back every weekend. And I think that that is God here in this church doing what he does through all of you, helping to heal people. And I'm just so thankful that I found all of you guys. And yeah. Yeah.
So, hello, good morning. I just want to say that this is a lifeline. It's a lifeline here. Yeah. Yeah. And this, I knew that this, when I first came, was a place of healing. I could just sense that. And it's so vitally important to have this type of ministry in a church. There's so many hurting. So many hurting. And I've been one of them. But yesterday, when we release those lies that keep coming back and circling around and around, God's Spirit falling on us just gives such the incredible peace and the ability to feel okay in your own skin. I just want to thank Kendra, Pastor Kendra, and Pastor Ricardo, and all the women who helped put this together. I'm so grateful, so thankful. But it's in the presence of believers that are loving and kind and caring that helps set people who are struggling free. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yesterday was so refreshing. So refreshing just to be here all day dwelling in the presence of believers, in the presence of God, getting away from the distractions of the phone. I felt like so empowered by just not even looking at it all day. But yeah, we need to disconnect from those things and just abide. And I just want to finish with this here. And Psalm 91 should be in my meditated brain. Here we go. Just lost it. Hold that one. Yes. Thank you. Here we go. Bear with me. So whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. I struggled with trust for a long time. I think we tend to deflect what, you know, we've experienced from others, and makes it hard to trust. But learning and abiding, I feel like I can trust. I'm trying. Well, I need prayer to keep in it, to abide in it. Learning to trust. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So beautiful. So powerful. Three more. Isn't this good, guys? Isn't this so good? This is so good. We got the fun bunch coming up right now.
Who would like to go first?
Got a ways. So, morning, everyone. This weekend was good. The abiding part. And a lot of people, I think we all have the same stories, just different faces and different times. But some of us have the same stories, the same lies, the same things, distractions that keep us from what we really need to do, which is being truly connected and abiding in God. So I went home last night, and I kept coming back to your heart scripture journaling, and some of the things I answered, and it was coming through from John 11, for one. So I kind of did a little recap, but I zeroed in to Martha, because for whatever reason, when she said, I came to verse 21, because I really, something about that just stood out to me. And when I wrote in the journaling, it's heart. So the H stands for highlight, E for explain, A for apply, R to respond, and T, the truth. So in the highlight part where it says, write the exact verse. So I wrote, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And so I went back home, like I said, and I did a little some more deep diving on that. I felt that Martha, this is just my opinion, but I felt that Martha kind of, she was kind of low-key shading Jesus, if you get it. Somewhat. Because if you looked at the video you showed with Mary and Martha, Mary with the oil rubbing Jesus, and everybody was in the uproar, some in the room, you always saw Martha in the background, like she's silently judging. What are you doing? Don't you know who he is? What are you doing? I'm back here trying to do some things, and I need your help, but there you go, trying to show out. So I always think that she was, so that's just my opinion, people. So I went back and I did a deep dive because I just couldn't sleep, even though I was tired. I didn't go home until, I didn't fall asleep until about 11 o'clock. So that's just some of my highlights. So it says, John 11 to me highlights Jesus' authority and power, which showed his ability to bring life and hope even in dark situations. He calls us out of sin to experience new life through faith, just as he called Lazarus from the tomb. This passage highlights the importance of trusting in Jesus' timing. Despite Martha and Mary's distress over the delay, Jesus had a greater purpose. His timing may not always align with ours, but we can trust that he has a plan for good. John 11 reminds us that even in death, there is hope through Jesus, because he conquered death and has prepared a place for us in eternity. Through faith in him, we have to gain the confidence in our future resurrection. Lazarus' resurrection demonstrates Jesus Christ's power and authority. It shows that in him, there is life and hope, even in death, and we must trust his timing and believe that it would work for our gain. Jesus is the resurrection and the life, offering us the assurance of eternal life. The scriptures basically indicate that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, they did share a close relationship with Jesus, who spent considerable time with them. And I have other reference in other scriptures. So when Lazarus fell ill, Mary and Martha sent word for Jesus, hoping that he would come and help. So Jesus reassured them that Lazarus' illness would not lead to death. But by the time his response arrived, Lazarus had already been dead for days. So that's where I come up saying, Martha's initial response to Jesus can be seen as an accusation. Because if they sent out word while he was ill, hoping that Jesus would act upon that and heal him, he wouldn't have died. So I put, while Martha doubted, Mary believed wholeheartedly. And we have to be encouraged to move from head belief to heart belief to experience true resurrection while we're on earth. See, Martha's faith contained doubt, just like in Mark chapter 9, verse 24, where the Father asks Jesus to help his unbelief. Despite doubts, believing in Jesus still brings benefits. Jesus waited purposefully to glorify God and to demonstrate his identity as God's Son, producing a miracle so others might believe. He acted to glorify the God as when we receive the Holy Spirit upon being born again, it transforms us, or it's supposed to, removing our old nature and revealing our new nature in Jesus. So I did some of this with Lazarus being sick and all that, because it kind of touched close to home. My nephew, my younger sister's son, has cancer, and it started in the stomach. It's going on about 3 years now. Now, with all the stuff that he went through, all the remedies, all the whatever they're giving him, it messed up his kidney. So now he has to go on dialysis. He has lost so much weight. And now it's getting to the point of his marriage is imploding because his wife is, I don't believe she can handle it. And when it came to those vows of in sickness and in health, this is the part where it's truly showing, can you handle it or can you not? Because she's at a point where it's not. When she's getting frustrated, she's telling him she don't need him no more. He's no help to her. And they have two young children. So I come back to somewhat of how Martha felt. Because I guess I'm kind of like somewhat of a Martha. Why are you helping my nephew, Lord? It's my sister's oldest. And I try to share stuff with her and reassure her. But then I'm like, those are just hollowed words. Because she's practically, and I don't want to put the words to it, but I try to prepare her. She's practically looking at her child possibly dying. Because they're like, everything they give him, it might not work. It might this, it might that. So I've been trying to tell her as I pass to him to, he has to stop worrying about everyone's feelings and put his trust in God. Because at this point where the doctors are saying this and they're giving him this and everything seems to not working, it's only one place for you to go. And some days he's good with it and some days he's ready to give up. And I get upset when I hear, and I'm like, how dare him want to give up and die? We're all out here fighting for him. I may not be going through what you're going through physically, but we're all out here battling for you. Who are you to just give up like that? And then I look at God and I'm like, where are you? Where are you? He is young. He has two kids, the oldest being six. They need their father. Why should you punish? Why should they be punished too? Because their dad is sick. So I kind of feel like, Martha, where were you? Where were you? Why allow him to die? So I grapple those feelings. So it was still good to be here, to be amongst and hear shared stories, because I'm like, oh, well, that's me. Oh, yep, I had that too. Yep, these are the same distractions I have too. So, but it was still good to be surrounded by people though, and release it and come back to God have your back despite the dire situations. He still is good. And that's what I have.
Good morning. So the piece that I took away was the wounds and lies. It says, perhaps something happened to you as a child or an adult that caused you to believe the lie. Fear took root in your heart. Rejection took root in your heart. Worthlessness took root in your heart. Shame, the sense of being defiled. Insecurity, I'm a very insecure person. And so you've given up, and hopelessness took root in your heart. And I highlighted five out of the whole list. And there was a prayer on the very next page that obviously I don't have. And we prayed for God to remove these things and to replace them with his strength and his spirit. And then we had a shredder up here and we shredded the prayer. And then there was a table that had a bunch of pictures of women with Jesus. And we were to look at the pictures and see if any picture spoke to you. And I brought my picture. I don't, you probably can't really see it, but this is the picture that I picked up. To me, this speaks to my heart because it's got like, it looks like hands or vines or something coming down after the lady. And she's holding it looks like she's holding the Son of God. And the light is keeping everything away from her. And so by me holding on to Christ is going to keep everything that's coming after me. It's going to keep it away. And I also want to thank everybody who set up the weekend for the ladies. And I want to thank each of the ladies because I realize that y'all are my family. You're not just friends, acquaintances. You care. And I appreciate that more than any of you will know. The hugs, the prayers, the touching base, the checking in to see how I'm doing. All of y'all are in my heart, and I wanted to thank you.
We're all a work in progress, aren't we? First of all, I just want to say we had a great time. Grape, as in like, you know, the grapes that we had. So, you know, it was just incredibly awesome. I really enjoyed just the whole day, just focusing on God's word and focusing on different sessions. But yeah, you know, the Lord has just been teaching me, you know, grow in Christ. And one of the things I take away is like, you know, do you grow in church or do you go to church? And I love the Lord with all my heart. The thing that I got from this weekend was in John, where it talked about where Philip and Jesus were talking. And Philip was just telling Jesus how we don't have enough food for these people. And Jesus is like, he's all God, he's all knowing. So he took the five loaves and two fish, and he made it possible. It's when we put our full trust in our Creator that he will do the impossible for us. We first, in our hearts, have to, in our minds, we have to know, and then we have to believe. Believe is a choice. And I think, you know, just throughout this weekend, I've had more joy. The fruit of the Spirit is one of those. I love the fruit of the Spirit. It's a good self-check. So this weekend, throughout, I was like, okay, am I having self-control on this? Have I worked on this habit? One of my habits is, you know, beeping at people, which is not a good idea. So ever since the time I left retreat, I have not beeped at one person. So, you know, it's just been an honor and a pleasure to grow with you. Ladies, it has been wonderful. You, and many more are special to God. So praise God.
I love that. Do you go to church or grow in church? So good. Thank you. Oh, guys, this is wonderful. We have a few more, right? The next three, come on up. Anybody else? This is wonderful. This is, isn't this good, hon? Huh?
Isn't this good? We didn't know we had so many preachers, right? Huh? This is our plan, right? Who would like to go first?
Thank you for my new Bible. And yes, I did get the memo to hold the mic closer. Thank you. I've grown up in the church all my life. I've read John, I don't know how many times, but I'll share with you some things the Lord just spoke to my heart. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you this, so that where I go, you may come with me also. And he spoke these things. I have spoken these things that my joy, that your, excuse me, I can't read with tears in my eyes. It's hard. I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy will be full. I saw a young lady come into the church absolutely broken, absolutely heartbroken. I saw her leave a different person. And that's because God has sent Jesus to us through the Holy Spirit to abide with us. And though her heartbreak is real, and it's deep, I know the Lord has met her and is going to change some things in her life. And he's going to honor the things that we pray for her. And it's amazing to see God work just the transformation. And he does these things so that our joy may be full. Before I came here, I got a text from a friend of mine whose husband had a PET scan 3 weeks ago. He had a follow-up exam, and the doctor said, you know, the PET scan's clean, but don't count on it. The cancer could have spread. I got a text just before I came. A message that said it's spread. It's in his liver. I've been there. I've done that. I've gotten those exact words. And, you know, this many years later, I look back, and I can see the glory of God through all of that from what I lived. And she can't see that, and she's angry, and she's hurt. And my prayer for them is that I know God will show his glory through whatever the end of this is. Whether he's healed and lives 20 more years, he's not very old, or if he's taken home, God will be glorified if she allows him to be. And I pray for that peace in their lives. And I just saw God work this weekend. And what he's done for me, he'll do for you.
It was such a beautiful weekend. And this particular scripture and this particular theme are just so vital to our Christian life. And it was just perfect. The book of John. And especially 15 for me. But I just wanted, there were four things that stuck out to me this weekend. And first of all, Pauline, my heart is so full because of the way the Lord worked through you to create the atmosphere for this event. I think I have to stand up for this one. Okay, first of all, a vine. And we had the picture up there with the vine growing, and we're talking about a grapevine. And the fact that it had to have roots and that it has a vine coming up in the branches, so we all know about that. But something I had never thought about before was the trellis. your trellis. Pauline made a trellis. And what is a trellis? And I just thought, the trellis is what holds the vine up. And Kendra said several times that when the natural tendency of these plants is to just, you know, fall and drag on the ground, but the vine dresser, that being our God, knows that we need support. So the trellis is this body, which holds us up. And thank you, Ricardo and Kendra, for sensing the need to hold up the body with the trellis of not just this place, but the support that you give to each that comes or each that you pray for. So the trellis was really a big thing for me. I'm so thankful for the trellis and all of it being all of you, the body of Christ working together, the trellis. And then the other thing that was so came out to me this weekend was the sap. I had never thought about the sap, that which runs up through the branch, the vine and the branches. And I never thought about it before, but actually I was thinking it being the Holy Spirit is how we use that as a word picture. The Holy Spirit is so important, but the Holy Spirit can only go so far. And it's when we hinder the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Priscilla, for those words. The different hinderings in our life just stop the sap. And so the sap of the Holy Spirit moving through our lives as we give way, as we are hung on the trellis instead of falling on the ground, is what gives us the life. And then what is the result? That beautiful fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Okay, all those only come as the Holy Spirit is able to move through us and through our branch to produce the fruit. And so I was just so thankful for the enlightening. And, of course, there are many, many specifics in my own life that I can just say, Father, I want that not to be a hindrance. Let me let go of that, Father, so that you can move and to produce the fruit that you want to grow in me, which also is fruit that all of us eat, because we're all part of receiving the body, receiving the sap of the Holy Spirit. And the, yeah, so anyway, that was my takeaway.
Hi there. Let me see where I'm going to start. My name is Mary Ann. My first name is Mary. And one of my favorite people in the Bible, probably my favorite, besides Jesus, is Mary of Bethany, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. And I always wanted to be like her. What is your name? I can't remember.
June.
June? I want you to listen to this, because I'm going to flesh out. God fleshed this out. He had already started it like about a month ago. But when we were listening, it was so cool. We listened to the word. We listened to the entire book of John. It was so good. That was the best part. Was just listening and just knowing that he is the word of God made flesh. Anyway, June, I want you to listen to this, because I think that God gave this to me for all the Marthas. But when I heard you, I thought, this is for you. I wasn't going to share. I didn't know if I should share it or not. But this is what he showed me. John chapter 11. So, they waited. He was in the grave for 4 days. They were weeping. They were crying. Jesus came. The first person among Mary and Martha that went to Jesus was not Mary. It was Martha. Remember that. And Martha said, where am I? I love it that I have this in the red letter. At least I can find it a little bit easier. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Let's look what Mary said to Jesus. Verse 32. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She said the exact same words. The exact same words. But what did Martha say after that? Sorry, I get a little preachy because I love the word of God so much. Because this is important for all the people who say they are like Martha. I want you to hear what Martha said. But remember, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But she said, but Mary did not say, but Martha said, but even now with my brother 4 days in the grave, even now I lost my place, but even now, I know that whatever you ask, he got that she was. So don't ever forget that. And what she did in the next chapter, where she was the only one that seemed to understand that Jesus was going to the cross and that he needed anointed. But that's a whole nother story. But Martha's faith gave way to one of the greatest miracles of his ministry. And don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. You will see the glory of God if you believe.
Amen. Oh, I love this. Oh, I love this. I hope that you're not just getting your own word from Jesus, but that we're learning to get to know each other as well. Isn't this good? This is so good. So who do we have left? Amy. Anybody else? Can I say something about this?
You say something.
Okay, yeah. So Amy and Betty and Darcy, they helped me teach, but it wasn't necessarily much teaching. You know, we would listen to a few chapters, and then we would do an exercise. But Amy did lead us through a beautiful expression of how you can meditate on the Word of God. We like to call it soaking. You know, I think, like she mentioned, when Christians hear the word meditation, we kind of think of Eastern meditation, but it's not that. You know, the Bible says over and over again that you need to meditate, slow down, think about the word, apply it to your life. And one thing that I do want to share is a book that Amy just wrote, and it is her testimony. And she shared a little bit about this. This weekend, and the books just came, and so she has them available. Are they still here, or did you take them home? Okay, so we highly encourage you to read this. You'll get to know Amy a little bit more and her story, but it is full of scripture, and they do have some reflection questions at the end of each chapter. It is so beautiful. Ricardo and I sat down and read it last week in one setting. Just so beautiful to see how God can change a life that is willing to abide in him. So it was such a blessing to have her share about that. And yeah, you want to share your take on?
Yeah. Hello. I am Amy, God's beloved daughter. And so are you. God's beloved sons and daughters of the King. I have never met God's beloved quite like Pastor Kendra. And I absolutely adore who God made her. And you, my brother. Woo. Kendra started out by sharing how relationships with women, sometimes women, can really hurt each other. It's not pretty. But God created us to have beautiful relationships with sisters and our brothers. And that is what we did. We abide, we dwell with God. And that fruit, the goodness that flows from Him onto one another, is beautiful. There's so much good fruit, fruit that lasts, we experienced this weekend. So, our sisters all shared so many amazing things. I'm just going to hit a couple of things from my gratitude journal this morning that maybe a little different perspective on a couple of things. One is getting to hear each other's stories. Betty got to share more about her testimony and hearing the other ladies as we shared over the tables, over meals. And it's good to hear from one another and to normalize those things that we hear, and we have to discern. We're all on a journey of discerning, right? The enemy's voice, God's voice, and to normalize these things, because the enemy wants us to live in darkness, right? Make us feel alone. Oh, you're the only one who hears these things, and that's just lies. So being able to sit and listen to the word of God and listen to one another, to encourage one another and say, no, my sister, that's a lie. No, we're going to listen to the truth together and to affirm that, right? That's good. And so when Kendra told Betty and I, we're going to listen to the entire book of John read, I was like, what? What? The entire book of John? Okay, I'm going to trust your leadership, my pastor. I trust you. Wow, it was so cool. Because we got a sample of it, we were listening to the word of God. We were having it wash over us anew. And we sat like little girls, like children, because the way that we listened to it, right, was like, it was kind of like, you guys remember back in the old days when all they had was radio, right? So the radio, everybody gathered around the radio and you listen. It was like a storytelling kind of concept. And we could use our holy imaginations that God gave us, right? He gave us imaginations to hold back to Him in a holy way of listening. And you could see the movie played out in your mind. It was amazing. So we sat like little children with storytelling time. It was great. And then we had show and tell with Jesus when we got to pick our pictures that represents. And we all came up and had to share it. It was so fun. The other thing that really was beautiful for me was the Holy Spirit led me here to this community. I've been in this community for 17 years, but the Holy Spirit led me into the doors of this church community on Easter last year. And I had a longing for community,